Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Once again, Mark, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Another time, Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal them on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with a shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked him, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to worship you again today. In this past week, Lord, we thank you for the various forms of grace you've bestowed upon us. Even if we didn't feel your grace, Lord, we know that just being here today is a form of your grace, and we're so thankful. Lord, we ask that through the message today, we'll be able to receive your grace and your peace upon us. We ask that we'll be able to understand the main points of the message today. Please watch over Pastor Joey Anjiki as he gives his message this morning and bless him as well. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. It's wonderful to be with you today. And today we're going to be looking at the passage that was just read a moment ago. When you were a student, were you ever involved in a class play or a performance of any sort? There was always, usually in such cases, a main character. And some people who had silent parts and didn't really do anything but like stand like a plant. It's likely, though, that you have had some sort of acting experience, though, in your life. And maybe experienced the joy and also the difficult aspects of acting. To be an actor or an actress, it's pretty difficult, actually, I think, because they have to portray somebody else's life. Depending on the actor or actress, there's different kinds of them, but there are some people who really take their job seriously and just really go full force at it. There's a famous Japanese actor who's still pretty young, by Go Ayano, and he really makes an effort to portray the role he's supposed to portray when he's acting. For example, in order to grind his teeth loudly for a role, he shaved them down a bit. And when he had to lose weight in order to do a different role. And depending on what role, he was once a case where he didn't take a bath or brush his teeth for an entire week. He just really took it seriously. And the people in the same performance likely had a difficult time putting up with them because of that. But why is it that somebody would make such an effort to be so accurate at acting? Well, by doing so, they feel that they can be a better actor or actress and portray the role more accurately. When you read the Bible, you can also think of it in the same perspective, in that having the right perspective when you're reading it is important. There's all different kinds of characters that come out in the Bible, and each of them has a different standpoint. And it's important for us when we're reading the Bible to understand what their standpoint is. When we're able to do so, then we can realize new things and receive new forms of grace. Today, too, we're looking through the book of Mark, and we're talking about, we're looking at the passage about Jesus continuing his discussion with the Pharisees about the Sabbath. The Pharisees and Jesus are the main characters in this passage today, along with a man with a shriveled hand. Today, I have entitled today's message as Stretch Out Your Hand to Jesus. The first point about today's message is that the Pharisees were really a picture of how there's a tragedy in losing sight of the essence of something. In the discussion that's going on today's passage, it was actually in a Jewish synagogue, and the person who had the shriveled hand came to that area. And this is indicating that he would not have been able to physically move his hand by his own strength for some reason. And it was the Sabbath, and Jesus was there. The Pharisees were trying to see if Jesus would try to heal him on that day or not. And these people, once again, were called the Pharisees. They were the people in that day that were a Jewish religious group, and they were very interested in protecting the law of Moses, and so they added all these other rules they felt necessary in order to accurately respond to and abide by Moses' law, which they called the oral Torah. According to their rules, on the Sabbath, they were not to help anyone unless it was a matter of life and death. So this man with a shriveled hand, he obviously had a problem, but it was not a manner of life and death. And so, according to them, they weren't, Jesus or anybody should not have been healing him. Why is it that Jesus would come to heal him then? Well, that actually, if he did that, then the Pharisees would have reason to arrest him and to capture him in a sense. They had made these rules that actually took away God's grace from people, which was supposed to be actually given to them through the law of Moses. The purpose of God giving the law was to give all people hope and for them to know what was good and bad. In present day, there are people like the Pharisees that are still in place. They're because these people, in the same way, lose sight of the true essence of what the Bible teaches. For example, on June 6, 1985, there was a 10-year-old boy who was riding a bicycle, and he collided with a dump truck and broke his leg. He was taken to a hospital, and there he was supposed to have surgery, but after 6 hours, he died. On August 22, 1989, in the Kagoshima Bay, a canoe collided with a fishing boat, and some family members were thrown into the ocean. The mother was seriously injured and was taken to the hospital. However, she died soon after reaching the hospital. She was actually pregnant at that time with a 5-month-old baby, and it died as well. And in Aomori, on April 2011, there was a 65-year-old woman who had a subdural hemorrhage. She was found to be unconscious and wasn't able to have surgery and died as well. So there are three different things about these people that had the same situations that actually could have saved their lives. And that's, they were short on blood. They needed a blood transfusion, all three of them. Their families, however, refused permission for them to have a blood transfusion because of religious reasons. They were all Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses are also referred to as the Watchtower and were formed by Charles Russell in 1870. They're kind of a heresy group of Christianity. In Japan as well, they often take children with them to visit homes to try to recruit believers. they actually have their own version of the Bible, and they call it the New World Translation. Based on their beliefs, they believe that blood transfusions are forbidden. They are actually referring to part of Moses' law when they're coming up with this idea about prohibiting blood transfusions. Let's look at what it really says, though. In Leviticus chapter 17 through 10 through 14, it says the following, beginning with verse 10. I will set my face against any Israelite or any foreigner residing among them who eats blood, and I will cut them off from the people. So why is it that God didn't want people to eat blood? Well, because the reason he originally told them not to was for two reasons. The first one was that he wanted people to stay away from idol worship. In those days in Israel, there were many people who worshipped idols. And they had this ceremony where they would drink blood. And God didn't want Christians or want true believers in God to be drinking the blood of this idol. And so that was one reason. A second reason God forbid them to do that was that he wanted to teach them the dignity or the sanctity of life. In verse 10, it's talking about not allowing them to eat blood, because blood is in their life. The life is their blood. So they're seeing that, like, blood in and of itself is life. And so by prohibiting this, then it makes people realize that God is the one who gives life, and it's not appropriate for anyone to take life away, because that is God's. God is the one who is the giver of life. This teaches the value of life in that way. However, the problem with the Jehovah's Witnesses is that they have confused this concept of eating blood with blood transfusions. But if you think about it, these are two completely different things. If you eat blood, it goes into your digestive organs. If you do a blood transfusion, it goes into your circulatory organs. And you can realize that this would not be in and of itself the same thing. If you're thinking about the Old Testament Moses law, you can realize that even today there are some people today who still abide by this and don't eat certain kinds of meat that has blood in it. However, they don't have any problem with blood transfusions, because that's totally different. In other words, even Jews who have very strict rules with abiding by Moses' law aren't so confused to the extent of prohibiting a blood transfusion. Because of the Jehovah's Witnesses' confusion over this, it seems that they have totally forgotten the essence of this concept that God was trying to teach through the law. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe that this is the believe that their interpretation is the truth, while it is not God's intended interpretation. They seem to be very serious and good people, but unfortunately, they are victims of a cult. In their Bible as well, it has the same passage that we're actually looking at today, and I hope that they can realize when they read their own Bible that God has given Moses law to protect us, and it's not to hurt us. In addition, there's sometimes when we're living out our Christian lives and we're thinking about what the Bible is teaching, we tend to think that we just have to obey a bunch of different things. We have to come to worship, we have to give an offering, we have to do devotion, and so on. And we just think that those things in and of themselves are what God wants us to do. However, that it makes us forget and lose sense of why God has given us these different tasks to do. Let's look at the second point today. The second point is about turning our eyes to Jesus, learning from him on how he gives priority on mercy. Jesus even looked upon the Pharisees and was hoping that they would come to their sentences. He told the man with the shriveled hand to come up and stand before him. There's a parallel passage to today's passage, and it's in Matthew 12, and you can also read more about that there. Let's look at verses 11 and 12 from Matthew 12. He said to him, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out?" In those days, the Pharisees were so strict about the Sabbath that they were very strict about the Sabbath, but they had this teaching that, yes, it was okay to take a sheep out of a pit on the Sabbath. Jesus continued in verse 12, saying, "How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." In other words, Jesus was telling the Pharisees that on the Sabbath, and you yourselves are letting people save life by the sheep, taking the sheep out. And don't people have a more important value than animals? And Jesus was trying to point out their misunderstanding and point them to God's intention of the law. Back to verse 4 of today's passage, then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" And it says next that they remain silent. In other words, they just couldn't respond. Even though it was the Sabbath, they realized that, yes, doing good versus evil and saving life was better than killing. Through this incident, Jesus was trying to tell them or let them realize their contradiction to the law. And in order to further prove this point, he also wanted them to understand how love and mercy really is more important than obeying rules. In the present day, we can learn from this as well. In our society, there are all kinds of different rules we have to follow. And of course, those rules are in place so that we can have better lives and live together in a good manner. However, sometimes if we're so focused on following the rules and forget about being nice and showing mercy and love to others, then that can become a problem for us. There is an elementary school in Tochigi Prefecture I'd like to talk about. A number of years ago, there were only 220 students there and only about 30 teachers. It was a very small school. In 2008, there was a new principal that came to the school. However, the new principal, when he got to the school, was just shocked because the entire school seemed to be like out of control. There were children who would refuse to enter the school gate, and they would just stand around outside the gate. And the teachers would go out and try to talk to each of the children, try and convince them to come to school. And even if they came in, though, the kids would start disrupting class. And the kids, even if they got in the classroom, would, you know, just cause all these problems. They would talk in loud voices to each other and be very rude to the teachers. And the classes just couldn't even function. They would break glass window and computers at the school and so on. There were problems between the students and many fights as well. They were angry and violent toward teachers on some cases. It was a very difficult time for the teachers, and they were just exhausted. Some of the reasons why this was occurring was there were a lot of children with learning disabilities there. There were a lot of developmental disabled children, and there was also a lot of children from children's homes, as well as children from foreign countries who couldn't speak Japanese and communicate with other students. These were many of the reasons why there were so many problems at this one school. The new principal realized that this was the situation and realized he would have to deal with it because it was such a large problem. At first, he didn't know what to do. He realized, though, that he had to do something, and he just had to start doing something. what he did was that he took the students who were causing the most problem in the classrooms and took them out of the classroom so the teachers could continue to teach the children who were paying attention. And what did he do with them? Well, you would think that he would, you know, usually just kind of stand in the front of the back of the classroom and just, like, you know, get angry at the kids who were not paying attention. However, this principal did something different. He took these children out of the class and started playing catch with them with a ball. He took especially three of the kids who were main problem causers and started playing ball with them. And so they were bored with classes, so they're like, okay, we'll play ball. So during morning classes, the principal would take these kids out and start playing ball with them in the yard. If you would think about normal school rules, this would be something totally out of line. There'd be no way that a principal would be out playing ball when the kids should be in learning something in the classroom. However, the principal realized that rather than following rules, it was more important to show the children love and grace. Other teachers saw what was going on, and eventually the time of playing catch became something more than just throwing a ball around, because they would take a break sometimes and sit down and actually talk with the principal and share their concerns with him and realize that he actually did really love and care for them. As they developed a relationship with him, these children with problems stopped being violent at school. Then the principal made measures to address the different learning issues that these children had at the school, and provided teachers to help teach Japanese to the children who didn't understand Japanese as well. In this way, after a few years, the school that was at one time fallen apart was filled with students all excited to come to school. The principal looked back on this and realized that the change of the entire school revolved around playing a game of catch with a ball. And in doing so, it changed the entire school, even though that was such a small change. That small change, however, set things in gear and triggered a large result. This principal actually was a Christian, and he would often go to the school and pray on his way, asking God to realize these children were deeply hurt in many ways, and the teachers are doing the best they can. But he wanted the school to be changed into a school filled with love and grace, and he wanted to be used in the process of God working there. So if you're thinking about normal school rules, there would be no reason a teacher would just go out and play ball with children who are breaking rules. But this Christian principal really understood what was important and how grace and love were more important in this case than rules. And that's what he gave priority to. In the society we live in, of course, rules are important. But as we learned from Jesus today, we learn that more than rules, love and grace is something that is more important to bestow upon others. Look at the final point today. The third point is what we can learn from the man with a shriveled hand and how we can enter the rest of the Lord. Jesus talked to the man with the shriveled hand, and he said to him, "Stretch out your hand." And the man did. He put his hand out. When he did so, his hand was completely restored. He was able to be healed on the Sabbath, and he was able to go into true rest. In present day that we're living in, we too can realize that Jesus' salvation is right before us. Jesus told us and still tells us to put out our hand to Him because He will give us the salvation that we need. And if we do so, if we accept His salvation, our sin will be forgiven, our relationship with God will be restored, and we'll be able to experience a healing and peace in a number of ways. And the healing is not just something that will be here on this earth, but is healing that is eternal. There's at some point in time, we will all go to heaven, and then that is when we will have complete heaven, complete healing and complete peace. In the U.S., there's a very famous man by the name of Gary Habermas, an American theologian. And in 1995, he lost his beloved wife, Debbie, to cancer. When looking back over that time in his life, he said the following. He said that he was sitting out on his porch and his wife was facing death on the second floor. After a period of several weeks, she had been in and out of the hospital, but she spent most of the time at the house. There was no prospect for her to get better, and it was a very, very difficult experience for him. There was a time when he asked God, he said, "Why is it that you're letting this happen to my beloved wife? Why is she dying in this terrible way?" And Jesus responded to the man in a very kind voice. He said, "I died on the cross. On the third day, I was resurrected, right?" When the man heard this response, he responded to Jesus saying, "I know, I know. I'm a theologian. I've just studied that and I know all about it. I know that you have been resurrected. I understand it. However, I'm worried about my wife," he said. And in response, Jesus repeatedly told him, "I was resurrected on the third day, wasn't I? I was resurrected. I was resurrected." Finally, the man realized that Jesus has been resurrected, and that the answer to his wife's problem was in that as well. That answer is what gave him the strength to face that difficult situation with his wife at that time, and what still gives him the strength to go on today. Gary understood that his wife would be resurrected as well in heaven and have complete healing there. She would be entering eternal rest. Jesus spoke to the man with the shriveled hand in the passage in the same way He speaks to us today. He tells us to stretch out our hand to Him. If there's anyone who hasn't accepted Jesus' salvation, I encourage you to do so today. Put your hand out to Jesus and receive eternal life through His salvation. When we receive salvation, our sin is forgiven and we can experience various types of healing here on earth. And we can have eternal rest when we pass on from this world. When you believe in Jesus Christ, your relationships don't just end here on earth, because we can have the hope for seeing others again in heaven. Everyone here is going to die at some point. There's going to be a time and a situation, and it's going to be different for every person. However, those who have received Jesus Christ as their Savior have the hope for seeing Him and others again in heaven. I hope to be able to see all of you in heaven as well. So today, I would like you to remember this point as we're thinking about Jesus' priority and grace and mercy. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time of worship today. We know, Lord, that you have the power to heal people, and you have the ability to give grace. Jesus, when we receive salvation from you, our sin is forgiven. We can be healed. And that healing is not something that just ends here on this earth planet, but continues into heaven forever. And we want to remember that today. In the darkness of COVID right now, many people are really searching for something, and they're trying to figure out what they base their life on. They don't know what to do. There are many people who are hurt now and need love. And that's the kind of days and times that we're living in. We ask Jesus that you will allow us to help reach these people and allow them to be saved. Please use us, Lord. We thank you for this worship today, praying in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we'll have a time of prayer and silence. And let me pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's worship service.